Well, friends, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs of Solomon and chapter 29. Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 29. And our text is a sobering text this morning. The Word of God is so vast and it deals with all kinds of subjects. Some of the matters shake us up. Some of the matters cut us to the heart. Some of the matters in the Word of God, it acts as a thing that we don't necessarily like to see, but it is good for us. I was visiting someone on Friday morning, and this child said to me, he has to take a medicine, and it is very bitter. But it does good to his body. And so it is the bitter medicine of God's Word. It might be not very nice to taste, but the fruit of it is to be a good thing. So this morning, we want to think about this text where it says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I appreciate many churches in this country would not deal with text like this, would not mention things that might sound very negative and causes the people to have to sit up and really take notice of it. But let me, before we jump into the cutting edge of it, let me encourage you, dear friends. Let me encourage you by saying how blessed you are to be here. You're blessed, even though to have this sobering text here, you know, it is good that God is giving me medicine. Some of it is sweet. Some of it is bitter. Sometimes he heals, but then sometimes he has to remove things and cut away the nasty things in my life. But think how blessed you are, dear friends. You're living in a situation where you have access to the Bible. What a wonder that is. There are many, many millions in this world that don't even have their own Bible in their own language. And you have it. You're able to come to this church. God has blessed you and helped you to come here this morning to hear the good news of Jesus Christ week in, week out, to be sure that every week the Bible is opened and the Word of God is preached faithfully, to be led to know the way of salvation. Many of you are living in families who love Jesus Christ. Many of you have spouses who are praying. You have some children who are praying. You have parents who are praying. Some of you have been, and many of you have been saved from the guilt of sin. Yes, we can look at all the negatives around us too. We can say, well, we are living in a very heathen country. Spiritually, it is very dark indeed. And you think about, we're reading about the king and how the people mourn over the fact that we have wicked governments, not godly governments. We have laws that are contrary to the Word of God. It wasn't always like this, dear friends. There were days of prayer. The king would call out. Others have days of prayer. They would have, the Puritans would have preaching in the parliament where they sit now and they publish these ungodly laws. We had prayers and godly teachers in schools and lies were not being taught. But now the lie of evolution is taught. The lessons are devoid of any kind of God glorifying things. God is not in their thoughts, and we are taught that we can live however we want, and the sexual craze, and that you can live perverted lives if you want to, and there is nothing wrong with it. You can identify yourself in any way you wish. We can think about that, and it saddens our heart. But every Lord's Day we are to focus our minds on the things that God has done. And all of these problems that we see in our society, it begins in the natural heart of man, which is wicked and selfish and dark and dead. And yet there is a remedy for it. It's bitter remedy, but it brings the sinners to life. And this ought to be preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is offensive, but it is also the best news that sinners can have. It scans the soul. So your soul this morning, we want to put you through an MRI scan that doesn't go through your bone and soul and everything. That's what we want to do. And so then see, where are the broken pieces? Where are the things that need to be mended? Where God must work, dear friends, and how you ought to go this morning to that physician of your soul. So you are a privileged people. Be encouraged by that. God has blessed you indeed. And so when you're listening to the word of God, always expect things from the Lord to speak to your soul. Pray for that and say, Lord, I will do whatever. Whatever medicine you will give me, I will take it. I will trust thee. Believe that, dear friends. And here, in the book of Proverbs, we are told in verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It says he or she that being often reproved. There is this often reproving of the word of God that takes place. And dear friends, as we come to this passage, not very many words in this little proverb, like most proverbs, but there is profound truth within it. And the subject that I want to preach on now from this verse is about coming or becoming what I call gospel hardened. We can see of many illustrations, many instances within our own lives where you get used to things and you become hardened about certain things. A person who keeps telling you about certain things, nagging you about some matter, you stop listening to them. You know, we've got signs in this building. And our brother Tim Eilert says to me at times that we can put up signs, but who will look at it? Who will read it? And we get used to it, you know. And we forget that the signs exist there. And we get used to both the good things and the bad things in our lives too. And in spiritual things, it can cause a hardness if you get too used to it. That's why there are times that I'm looking at the various texts of the scripture, and some of it is gentle, some of it is very encouraging, some of it is designed in the scriptures to call you to see what a savior we have in Jesus Christ, and how he is the balm to our soul, how he comforts us, how he forgives us. And then there are times that it cuts deep, and it is designed to awaken you so you don't get simply used to it. But you see, the scripture says, the Apostle Paul speaks about that it has an effect on us. It is either going to take you to a place of repentance and forgiveness and gives you life. It is a savor of life unto life, or it is a savor of death unto death. It can harden you. So your prayer should be that these messages and every sermon has an effect on you, that I don't get used to. But I would seek the Lord with all my heart, that I won't become a gospel hardened, that I wouldn't go down this path, that it will become just too far then, too far gone. We can easily become set in our ways, become addicted and set in the rut. Many who are addicted to gambling might have one or two wins, but then they go a little further, little bit further, for something more, and then they lose everything. They risk everything. And the more you win, the more you want to go on until you fall, because you go a bit too far. And we can do that with spiritual things too. And he says there is a point where we can go where there is no remedy after that. That's a sobering thing. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. First thing I want to say is this. The repetition of reproof. We have looked at this mentioned this, the repetition of reproof. Here it says, he that being often reproved. You know, we are not so quick in taking everything in. Every sermon that you have heard, every book you have read, there have been parts of it that you've forgotten straight away. You know, what did you eat yesterday? Can you remember that just quickly in your mind? Oftentimes we forget the thing that we have just had. And it happens to all of us. And so what needs to happen, and this is what faithful preachers do, this is what the Peter said that he kept doing for their remembrance, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He said certain things more than once to remind people, drive things home to people. It's a good thing. If someone is, let's say some of you teenagers, your parents say stuff to you, you know, all the time, and you get upset about it, you get annoyed about it, and you think, you know, get off my back. But remember, the time that you should be concerned is when they just let you go. Just, they don't say anything. And when they stop talking to you and they're silent, the same thing can happen spiritually. So when you're being often reproved, when God is speaking to you and challenging you, and it's a good thing. It shows that God has compassion and love. So while you're hearing things and it's uncomfortable, you say to yourself, God is saying these things to me. The Bible is still speaking to me. The Bible is not a closed book to me. I'm hearing it. God must show this special care. God has given the Bible. God has given me a place to come to. God has given people who would care for me. And He is still speaking to my soul. That's a good thing. It is put in a negative sense here. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. That's what does happen, but it doesn't have to happen like this. Proverbs here, Solomon simply is stating facts. It's not telling you how. It is simply stating facts, and it's not saying that it can't be otherwise. It's saying this is what happens in life. This is what we see in life. But the thing that people don't see, he goes on to say, he shall suddenly be destroyed and that without remedy. He says, yes, it is true. This is what normally is seen. But it's giving you that warning. So being often reproved. There's a repetition in the ministry, in the preaching of the truths of the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Proverbs, it's so many things are repeated again and again. You have wisdom in chapter 1 and throughout this book, you have wisdom standing on the streets, corners. She's crying out with stretched out arms. It's speaking, it's calling, it's crying. There are different words that are used about wisdom and how she's pleading with people who are passing by. And the father in the Proverbs is speaking to his son, speaking to his child and again. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Speaking, correcting, instructing, convicting. That's what I am charged to do. It says, he that is often reproved. You know, the Apostle Paul said that the ministers are to use the Word of God to reprove as well as to exhort and comfort and so on. So that is one thing for you to not get too upset. If anybody, be it your parents, be it your teachers, be it whoever it is speaking to you truth and is reproving you. But then the second thing is this hardening process that is referred to here. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, it says. The picture that the man who is writing this proverb was has in his own mind, I believe, is a picture of the oxen. It is a picture of the man who has oxen, and it's a picture of a bullock, And the farmer is as it were, walking along, and he's about to start to his work early in the morning, and he's about to plow the field, as it were, and he goes into the field, and he takes the yoke, that big, long panel of wood for the shoulders of the oxen to attach things to, and yet the oxen doesn't want it, doesn't like it. It attaches the yoke to this, and the oxen resists it, turns away from it. And even this morning, I was listening to a sermon on this, and the preacher was saying that this resisting causes the skin of the oxen to be hardened, and the muscle would be hardened. The oxen will begin to have a stiff neck about him. And so that's the picture. It's an agricultural term that is used here. The person who's often reproved can become like that oxen. Their neck becomes hardened. And so Solomon is saying this. The man, the woman, the teenager, the boy or girl who hardens his neck, who stiffens the muscles and the sinews and the flesh of his neck against God, who refuses the yoke of God, who refuses God's will, God's way of for his life, who refuses the leading of God, wherever the Lord says, you know, walk in this way. This is the best way. This is the right way. The path of righteousness, the path of holiness. The scripture here says that person hardens their neck and things are not going to turn out good for them. You know, we are living in a country that's exactly what's happened. We are living in a nation that has become hardened. It is very, very hard. And that is why we must pray for a reviving work of God's Spirit in this land to take root and to work in our hearts as well. So this is a message for both Christians and non-Christians. We can become set in our way. And so here is this picture. But I say this to you, dear friends, people who come Sunday after Sunday. Some go to various other meetings, listening to various things, reading various books. We have family worship every day. You have Bible reading every day, prayer every day. You hear the gospel so regularly. As I said earlier on, this can have a hardening effect on you if you're resisting it, if you're just pushing against it, if you're ignoring it. And I'm speaking here from a human point of view, not God point of view, dear friends. You're talking about what happens normally, naturally, except when the grace of God reaches down to you. When God comes and shakes your world, and when God comes and gives you eyes to see, and ears to hear. And then God gives you a new heart. That's a different thing. But in normal thing, if just God lets you be, this is what's going to happen. And so your prayer, my prayer should be, Lord, don't let that happen. Lord, work in my heart. So is that you right now? They're seeming to be making no progress in spiritual things. And you know your own heart. You know who you are. And you know, if God is speaking to you and singling you out in this gathering, and if God is speaking to you about this, then listen to him. He has a message for you now. You're not here by accident. That if you, the Lord is saying to you that if you were to harden your heart, things are not going to go well with you. Week after week, going out from the front door, the back door, Not trying to see the preacher or not to see other Christians and so on. And then Monday comes. And all those spiritual realities seem to fade away, like yesterday's dinner that you can't remember. And those things you forget. And you begin to think about what you're going to do and tomorrow and the weeks ahead, what lies ahead. And those deep spiritual thoughts that had been brought before you hear, they are then gone suddenly in a flash, and you again harden your neck against God. You ignore those things. And so you, in that sense, put to one side the word of God. How many hear of the Savior, Jesus Christ? They hear of his birth. They hear and read something about his life, that he lived a perfect life, that miraculous birth of his, how he suffered for us upon the cross, and people nailed him to that cross, and he was bleeding on that cross. And people think, well, why did that happen? Why did he go through all of that? And they read of him crying, and they read of him bleeding and dying. And they see that the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They read all of that. And it affects them to some degree. You remember those times. And there are times that you think to yourself that God is speaking to you. He's singling you out. He's calling you by name. The preacher is preaching a message, and it's just designed for you. How did he know it? Well, it was God speaking. The preacher doesn't know, but the Lord knows you. And you've been convicted about this. And you thought to yourself, well, how is that possible? How could God know about that? And yet, those times, you can easily walk away from that. And although God is patient and although God is long-suffering, there is a time, dear friends, to trust him. Today, the scripture says, is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we are to call upon God and trust him and repent of our sins. Not tomorrow, not future, because we easily can forget. We can easily become hardened to these things. We can have fixed ideas about things, many be about politics or some other things, but there could be a symptom that in your religious or your spiritual ways, you can be fixed. You could be fixed in your mind. Perhaps you decided some time ago, however long time ago, that you will go so far with God. This is how far you will go. You will attend the services at till such and such an age, but that's how far I'm going to go. Maybe that's some people have thought about that. I remember talking to a man who said that very thing. That's, I'm going to go thus far and no further than that. That is good enough for me. That's the good enough Christianity for me. Rather than going all out for God, to trust him, to trust his son. Maybe you've decided already, I'm going to live for other things. Have you set your mind in this way as a concrete and is set? That you won't accept these things, that other people are saying, what they are saying is better and true, no matter if God in the Lord Jesus Christ could come before you bodily, visibly, and show you the nails in the nail prints in his hands and his side. Is that true? I remember talking to one lady and said, even if Jesus Christ came and told me about these things, I would not believe. Thought that was such a horrifying thing, such a fearful thing to say that. But that can easily happen when we harden our hearts. So it's a sobering thing, and you ought to take it home, and you ought to think to yourself, have I a hardened neck? Is that what's happening to me? But praise God, still today, the reproof comes. Still, God comes and shakes you, and it's uncomfortable. And you think, well, I've heard these things before. You have heard it before. You need to hear it one more time. And for you to remind yourself, what is God doing? What is God saying to me? Then another point is this. We are told here that time runs out. Time runs out on the gospel hardened. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Time runs out, and the person doesn't realize it, that this time is running out. It's suddenly this happens. Something happens. They were never expecting it, but it does happen. And so, dear friends, I want you to know what God thinks. Not what I think, what God thinks. about God's patience, about God's dealings, God's plans. You don't know the plan of God for your future. You don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. You don't know what God has set in motion and all sorts of things that are happening. You don't know any of those things. But what we do know, what's going on in our hearts in terms of our response to this truth and about the Lord Jesus Christ. God says in Proverbs 1 and verse 24, another sobering word. He says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. This is, I have been calling. I have been graciously pleading with you about the need to come to know me. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. You wouldn't listen, the Lord is saying. You wouldn't listen to one thing I said to you. You know, to prophet Ezekiel, I think we've got it easier. Prophet Ezekiel, God actually said, they are not going to listen to you. Whatever you preach to them, they won't listen. How discouraging that would be if I thought to myself that all of you will not listen to the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Would I come and preach to people who wouldn't listen? Only if God says it. But humanly speaking, I would have difficulties with that. But the Lord said to Ezekiel, they will not listen to you. Why? They don't even listen to me. Why should they listen to you? And here it says, I have been stretching out my hands before you, and no one is regarding it. No one will listen to it. And so then he goes on to say, I will also laugh at your calamity. When things go wrong, then I will mock when your fear cometh, he says. When you want me, when you need me, when there is a time in your life when you are crying out to me, it will be too late. It's too late then. It says, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of God, the Lord. Again, all of these things are designed, these are truths of the Bible, and it's designed to shake your world. It's designed for you not to be hardened, but to say, the Lord is such a gracious God. He is so patient with me. He is still speaking to me. I ought to listen to him. I ought to run to him. That's how you should be thinking. Not saying, well, he's such a hard man. Well, wouldn't you stop talking to someone? Wouldn't you help someone if they don't want all the time? They say, no, I don't want your help. I don't want your help. I won't listen to you. And yet God is rich in mercy. He is so patient. The scripture says that's one of his attributes. But there is a day that he has set for us. And today is the day that he says, my gospel goes out for sinners to be saved. But then there is a night that will come. But some people would say they have this false security, and some say, well, I'll trust him one day. Someday when I'm older, when I'm on my deathbed, I'll trust him. When I really need him, then I will trust him. I don't really need him now. I've got all my stuff. I've got my gadget. I've got my life before me. I've got all of my friends. I'll trust him in future when those things are finished. All my friends, the whole Bible is speaking to us, and the Holy Spirit has given to us this Bible to help you to navigate and help you to see. Life is so short. Eternity awaits us. And so that's why preachers plead with people. And that's why the Apostle Paul even had to plead with Christians and say, Christians, live like Christians. Love like Christians. He has to plead with them. And my friends, no matter how early you seek him, it is not early enough. You ought to seek him now. There is a passage again in the Word of God in Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 11, where God says to the people of Israel, and he could be saying to us right now too, you, he says, you refused to hearken. He says, you refused to listen. You didn't want to listen. You pulled away the shoulder, he says. You pulled away your shoulder. It's as if the Lord is saying, I came and I touched you on your shoulder. And I said to you, listen to me, listen to me. And you pulled away. How discouraging that is. Has that ever happened to you? And someone just, you go to help them and they pull away. And the Lord is saying, this is how you have responded to my love and my grace. My friends, God is very gracious to us. The rain comes. Do you know that's the grace of God? You have cold weather. That's the grace of God. If we didn't have cold weather, we wouldn't have the fruit that we have in other times of the year. And you talk to any farmer, you would know that they are thankful for all of the seasons, not just one season. If you had summer all the time, it would be Sahara Desert in United Kingdom. But no, God has blessed you in general ways, but also in a special way for you here this morning. God has blessed you with having the Word of God right in front of you. So listen, dear friends, has God been speaking to you? Are there things that needs to be right? Have you come to realize, appreciate what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and how he went to the disciples and he kept saying to them, you're hard of hearing, why will you not listen? Why will you not trust me? And he comes to us so patiently. It took years for that, for the Lord to speak to those disciples of his. And you think about all kinds of people. You think about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that God then came and rained fire upon it. You know, for years God had been speaking to them. You think about Pharaoh. We've been doing that series on Exodus. How the Lord spoke to him, let my people go. How many times did Moses have to say to him? But he hardened his heart. That's a great picture of this. And then what happened? His land was taken. It was destroyed. The economy was destroyed. The people were destroyed. His first child was destroyed. You have Eli's sons. That priest Eli, his sons had the word of God. They had the hearing of the preaching of the word of God and all of those things. And yet, they wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't listen to their father. God said one day, I have warned you enough. You bring wrong sacrifices before me. And they were struck down. You have so many great examples. But a sad example, Judas Iscariot. 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing the wonderful words of Jesus Christ and hearing it and coming from the mouth of the incarnate God, hearing the teaching firsthand from the Lord Jesus, witnessing his miracles. The Lord was beside Judas, and yet he betrayed him. Perhaps you could be like a surgeon this morning. The surgeon who, when he operates on his first patient and then the patient dies. And perhaps that night he's sleepless. He can't sleep. Perhaps the rest of the week he thinks, well, I wonder if I could have done something different. I wonder if I could have done this or that. And I could have proceeded in another way. I could have given this medication and I could have listened maybe to some doctor and maybe got counsel from some other people to save that life. But then what happens? That doctor has those thoughts, but then he has to deal with other patients. He has to move on to the next one and the next one and the next one. Oftentimes we can become like that too. We have an issue of conscience. We are unsettled in our mind, but other things can take over. We have to move on to other things. But may it never be said as it was said to in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17 about one of the tribes of Israel, Ephraim. There are some sobering words. You know, that's one of the reasons, if I could say this, that we know the Bible is true. You know, the people who wrote or were the guardians of this book, you know, it said the worst things about them. The Jews, who the guardians of the Bible, and they were holding a book that was most awful, said most awful things about those very people. And that shows itself that the Bible is inspired of God. You wouldn't keep some book that says awful things about you. Well, actually, I do have one book that says really awful things other than the Bible about me. There was a man who used to come here and he actually published a book with my name on it. I will have to show you one day. But there's all sorts of horrible things in it about me. But I kept it for reference. But we don't normally hold books or have books that says awful things about us. And in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17, the Lord says, Ephraim is joined to idols. And then he says, let him alone. Let him alone. I've left him. And that's why I'm saying that when the scripture says to you and me, God is coming to you, often reproving us, often correcting us, it's a good thing. They've joined themselves to these idols. The Lord says they are not going to let go, and I will let them go. They're following their own gods. They're following after materialism, their cars and their businesses and their wife and their husband and their lover. And they're following after their this and that and the other thing. But they have not followed after me. I let them alone. So can you imagine if God said that? We should be thankful God hasn't yet said that to us, because he's still speaking to you this morning. And so that's an encouraging thing, dear friends. We ought to remember this passage, not as simply a negative rebuke, but as a positive thing. If God is speaking, God must still care. God must still love my soul to care for me, to still come to me and speak to me. And if you have parents, if you have loved ones who speak to you about things and they're telling the truth and you know it, you ought to love them. You ought to appreciate what they are saying. You ought not to become hardened regarding them. But my friends, what a Savior we have, Jesus Christ, who knowing how we would respond, he still came. Knowing our rejection of him, our unbelief of him, us becoming stiff-necked and hardened neck, instead of coming to destroy us, and he could. He said, I could call out a legion of angels to come and destroy the army of the Romans. But he came and willingly went to the cross to bear away our sins. I can't understand that, why he would do that, how he did that, how he bore with our sin, and how he suffered on that cross for us. But it is the truth of the scripture. And the Lord is saying these things to us to show how he loves sinners, and he will receive sinners, even those who have become hardened. So if God speaks to you this morning, praise God for it, and then go to him. Go home, call upon his name and say, Lord, I have such a hard heart. All of these things I've allowed in, I've become so bitter about you. I've become bitter about people and all of these things. And I've thought of myself, I just wish it would all end. But Lord, you've spoken to my heart this morning, and I will come humbly to the cross of Jesus Christ. Go home and do that. And God, by his grace, has promised to save those who would humble themselves. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. May the Lord then bless these few thoughts to us.